Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football Tuesday edition. Browns getting ready to play their third preseason game Saturday night at Indianapolis. And they officially have a quarterback. I know we had some doubts about this. Yeah, really. Brandon Whedon, in case you didn't hear it, officially is the quarterback of the Browns. Officially. So that's covered. By the way, Cleveland Browns single game tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 1-800-745-3000 today. Call 216-578-0850 to get into the dog pound with us. And I believe we have a couple of people who have done exactly that. And let's, Nathan, get into some of these calls.
Absolutely.
I think, who was it, Chris in Akron still with us, Dino?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Chris, what's up, brother?
Not too much. Love the show.
Thank you.
I tell you what, it's refreshing to hear you guys talk so highly on Whedon. You know, the one thing I saw that I really liked was the time he had at the line. The plays are getting in. He's getting time to stand there. Gauge the defense a little bit, make adjustments if he has to. It's going to help him instead of running up and, you know, snapping with a second left.
Yeah, it speaks to how much this offense really fits what he does, to the efficiency of the play calling. And again, this was one of those things that I think Pat Shurmur did in his construction of the game day operation that made things just difficult on himself. But it does happen where coaches just won't, who come from a particular background, whether it's offense or defense, won't let go of a particular area. And he wouldn't let go of his play calling background that he had as an offensive coordinator. So he chose to do that. I think it cluttered his mind on game day. I think Rob Chudzinski, who is a more than competent play caller and could do that without any problem, is so wise to put it in the hands, first of all, of someone else, but more importantly, someone like North Turner, who is as good a play caller as there is. And the system so far in two games where Turner's up in the coach's box, looking down, making the call, sends it down to his son Scott, the receivers coach on the sidelines. He communicates it to Whedon, and the process is working in such a way, as the caller points out here, Nathan, that there's time to spare.
There's no question about it, and what's important about that is in today's NFL, you're seeing teams try to play a more up-tempo style. That serves multiple purposes. Number one, if you're getting in and out of the huddle quickly, getting the line of scrimmage quickly, it limits the ability for the other team to make substitutions. They're kind of, you can get them stuck in certain packages. It also limits their ability to disguise what they are doing, because you get to the line of scrimmage, it gives Brandon Whedon, because they've been getting out of the huddle, getting to the set with about 13, 14 seconds on the play clock. That gives Brandon Whedon enough time to survey the defense, make his pre-snap reads. It also gives Norv Turner and Brandon Whedon enough time to maybe send people in motion to get an even better read, try to get the defense to tip their hand a little bit as to what they're going to do on a particular play. So all it speaks to is that Whedon gets there quickly enough to just be focused on one thing, and that is making his reads, getting ready, and going through the play that has been called, as opposed to getting up there being like, we got to get this ball off, and worrying about multiple things. I think that that is one of the biggest kind of under-the-radar things that Norv Turner and the tempo and Rob Chudzinski, the tempo they've used in camp, how that's carried over to the game, and it puts the offense in an advantageous position. There's a reason why the New England Patriots try to get as many plays going as they can, get out of the huddle as quickly as they can, get Tom Brady to the line where he can pick apart a defense. So I think it's a very astute observation, Chris, about the time Whedon's having contributing to his success.
Let's go to Texas now and say hi to Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Good. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been a longtime Browns fan. I guess my question for you guys is, I trust Gordon, and that Cameron looks pretty good, but, you know, who do you guys think other than Greg Little? Because Greg Little has always been real inconsistent for me. Who else do you think could help Whedon out over there? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
You know, I think internally the hope is that Travis Benjamin can rise to the occasion in a big way. I think it's asking even more than we might think of a player who is a smaller, very fast guy, but a smaller physical package to move to the outside and succeed in that world in this offense that really emphasizes bigger guys athletically like a Josh Gordon. So you're not replicating Gordon. I don't really think there's another guy that does that. Obviously, Devon Bess is on this team, but he has a very specific slot role, so he's not moving up into a number one receiver spot. So my sense would be, Nathan, that you take Benjamin and try to be as creative as you can. If he can get off the line successfully, you know teams are going to just right. look to jam the daylights out of a smaller guy like that. If he makes that first move and gets past them, boom, he's gone. And we've seen instances where this can happen. I just don't know as consistently it'll happen as consistently as they needed to for those two games.
I think you're going to have to see the Browns utilize some motion to get him into the slot, start him off outside, move him into the slot, allow him to get a free release off of the line, get down the field that way through the seam. He is a very good vertical receiver. And last year, you know, as a rookie, showed very well, 16.6 yards a catch, 8 yards per target. Both of those very, very solid figures. But you're right. Without Josh Gordon, this is a very different offense and a very different offense to defend. You look at the Detroit Lions, you take Calvin Johnson out of the mix, they become a much easier offense to defend because there isn't anybody with Josh Gordon out there. I believe he's going to need to be double teamed quite a bit, or teams are going to have to at least think about that, put safeties over the top of him. With the rest of the receivers, that's really not the case. And Greg Little, I think, is probably best suited to maybe being a slot guy in a more physical Anquan Boldin type of a role. Josh Gordon would certainly allow him to move inside from time to time. I think the first two games, the biggest vertical threat in the offense, unless they can get Benjamin a lot of free releases, is Jordan Cameron.
I was going to say, it's the tight end. And the motion.
Which is okay.
It is okay. Well, it is okay as long as it has the double effect of getting passes to him, but him also opening things up for other people.
Right.
I think his presence inside, and he's involved in this motion thing too,
right,
to draw coverage to the middle, draw safeties out of position, that can help. That can help a Benjamin. It certainly could help a Greg Little on the perimeter. Let's go to Brecksville. We'll say hi to Phil.
Hey, Vic. Hi, Nathan.
How you doing, Phil?
Good. You know, I got to tell you, talking about the offensive line, I didn't have a whole lot of expectations last year. But what I did have, and my biggest disappointment, was that our offensive line, granted, with two Pro Bowlers, a second-round pick, and serviceable guards, could not run block. So I would say the biggest disappointment of last year and the most curious thing about this year is why they couldn't run block, and will they be able to run block this year?
Okay, I got a couple of thoughts on that, Phil, and thank you so much for the call. I don't want to disagree that the run blocking, you know, couldn't have gotten better, because it certainly could have. I'm not entirely going to put everything, though, on that group and say that it was all on them. I think as a rookie running back, Trent Richardson had a lot to learn about patience, hitting holes, and doing some things in his game to help enhance what was happening up front. I also think there was a disconnect at times between the line and Trent as they were figuring him out. Now, again, this doesn't explain everything. Trent had his moments where he started to get it as the season went along, and maybe the line didn't always support him there, but I thought there were times when the line was somewhat sufficient. But it's got to get better. You're right. And I think the real key here is Sean Laval, by the end of last season, proved to be as consistent a force in the middle, where a lot of Trent Richardson's runs will begin, as anybody could be. He proved to be that force. Now the question becomes this other guard spot. And I think that's why, and we'll see what happens here, but the John Moffitt acquisition could prove to be
huge.
A difference-making thing, not just because there are injuries there to Jason Pinkston and Sean Laval, and maybe I don't want to overstate this, but it's possible, and he is here to compete, it's possible that he represents the upgrade even if those two guys were healthy.
I certainly think it's possible. Here's what Marshawn Lynch did with Moffitt in the lineup last year. 122 yards, 98 yards, 124, 124, 87, 128, and 113. Again, averaged 5.5 yards per carry when Moffitt was in the lineup for the majority of the snaps at guard. Averaged 5 yards per carry for the season. So there was a little bit of a boost there. I'm going to tell you a couple things about the running game. Last year, Marshawn Lynch, let's take him as an example, in Seattle. He was average getting hit the first contact, taking that over 2 yards after he touched the ball. For Trent Richardson last year, it was 1.6. So good blocking lines get you a little bit extra before you take on your first contact. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, you had Doug Martin took his first contact 1.4 yards down the field, yet still averaged 4.6. So there is a combination of things here. Better blocking and then more wiggle. One of the things that you and I have both noticed, Vic, with the dropping of 5 pounds is that Trent Richardson is a little bit quicker. He's a little bit more explosive. And I think he has the ability, as we saw in that one run, where he got into the line, was about to get stopped, and then quickly bounced it outside and had his best run of the day against the Detroit Lions for 17 yards. So I think there's that. And then the third thing I want to say is last year's offense did not spread people out and provide big running lanes. Right. Norv Turner's offense is going to spread defenses out. We've seen already the success of the passing game. People are going to be much more concerned about the Cleveland Browns throwing the football in 2013 than they were last year. That's going to help Trent Richardson too.
It should affect it. And I think even as you broaden the lens on this running attack, you have to talk about the big picture. Now, losing Deion Lewis, they lost a specialist. They lost someone who, yes, could have helped open things up for Richardson by his mere presence in some two-back sets where he'd be flanked out wide, sure, where he could start in the backfield. And they have this formation, I think, called twins, where they also bring in the tight end. They bring in Jordan Cameron in a back lineup parallel. They showed that against the Lions. And again, it gives you a lot of options. And the blocking that a tight end can bring in sort of an H-back role to the running game. You've got Chris Obanaya, who I think has held his own as a blocker for the most part through this camp. I think he's shown some good things there. I think it'll make the fullback position interesting. Will it make it a lot better? I don't know. But I think it'll make it interesting because of his multiple dimensions as a runner, receiver, and again, a threat that forces what you're trying to achieve here is force defenses, as you just pointed out, if they worry about what you're going to do in the passing game from spread formation, if they worry about what you're going to do when you've got certain people in the backfield in addition to Trent, it can ultimately open things up for Trent to just get the ball and have room to run. All right, we've got much more coming up for you on this Football Tuesday edition.
Every day is a football day.
On Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, it's Vic, it's Nathan. You are listening to ESPN 850, and give us a call at 216-578-0850. ESPN 850 WKNR. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit me get up.